Fasten your seatbelt and turn up your radio. We're going on a road trip. Spend any time in a cocktail bar or liquor store, and you'll certainly notice a number of brands that weren't around a few years ago. Well, there's a reason for that. Just as beer cases have become filled with colorful labels and exotic flavors, craft spirits are becoming hip alternatives to the traditional big liquor names. Welcome to Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. The local craft spirit industry is booming, with the number of local distilleries jumping by more than 15% in the past year alone. Joining me today is Brian Cummins, a chemical engineer by trade who took a leap of faith by leaving his career at a local paper mill to become the head distiller and president of Great Northern Distilling in Plover. Brian, welcome to Route 51.
Thanks for having me.
Also joining us is beverage consultant Zach Stringer of Copper and Pines Cocktail Company in Stevens Point, who specializes in crafting unique cocktails and mocktails for events throughout the Midwest. Zach, welcome to Route 51.
Thanks for having me.
And our third guest is Sarah Brish. She is executive director of the Stevens Point Area Convention and Visitors Bureau and one of the organizers of the Craft Collective. It's an organization of which Great Northern Distilling is a part. Welcome.
Well, thank you.
All right. Well, we're going to take your calls and questions, too. Listeners can join the conversation by calling 800-780-9742. Brian, I really want to start with you. You left a career as a chemical engineer to join this whole thing. You became this craft spirit movement guy. What is it about the industry that drew you in?
You know, I was over in Minneapolis with a group of friends in February of 2012 at a mixology bar there called the Marvel Bar. And it's just a really cool spot. It's kind of speakeasy style where you got to know your way in. And then when we got there, they're making all these awesome cocktails by hand, you know, pre-prohibition style techniques, fresh ingredients, you know, creative flavors. And sitting around with a group of friends, one of my buddies had just read an article in Popular Mechanics magazine about small batch craft distilling.
Okay.
And said, boy, wouldn't that be something cool to do? And being that kind of frustrated chemical engineer in the paper industry with, you know, another 25 years to go and not looking forward to all the other mergers and mill closures and downsizings and everything sure. else we've seen, it was really a light bulb moment for me. So we started writing a business plan. We toured like 20 other craft distilleries across the country. And really, in May of 2013, I took the leap and jumped in to remodel our building and get our licenses in place and equipment sourced to really launch off on Central Wisconsin's first craft distillery.
Wow. Certainly a leap of faith.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Sarah, you're not only the executive director of the Stevens Point Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, but you're also one of the organizers of the Central Wisconsin Craft Collective. So what is it exactly? Let our listeners know what that's all about.
Yeah, so the Central Wisconsin Craft Collective is really a link between all the breweries, wineries, and craft spirit makers here in the Central Wisconsin region. So the Craft Collective is made up of 9 partners. Great Northern Distilling is one of those. Sunset Point Winery is our winery on board. And then we have McZee's Brew Pub, Central Waters, Oso, the historic Stevens Point Brewery as well. And so several great partners, and we've been working together for a number of years now to promote the fine craft industry that we have here. Beer and Wine magazine just reported some of the top cities in the country that have arguably some of the best craft beverage makers, and we're happy to report that we're one of them. Central Wisconsin and the Stevens Point area really puts a mark on the map when it comes to the craft beverage scene.
That's amazing. I didn't know that. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What an honor. So what are some of the benefits of having this kind of network between the local craft establishments?
You know, jointly, we're able to do so much more in terms of promotion that we wouldn't be able to do as a standalone entity. So I think that's probably the biggest strength that we as the Central Wisconsin Craft Collective plays is really promotional. So we do a number of promotions throughout the course of the year and contests and gatherings of sorts to really link all of them together.
Okay. Zach, you were a bartender for a long time. You are still a brand ambassador for Great Northern, but now you have your own company. This Copper and Pines cocktail company really looks intriguing. So tell me, what does your company do?
Yeah, so we're still kind of getting started, but we wanted to focus on bringing the craft kind of cocktail experience on the road and to help educate others about it. So we focus on pop-up events and doing weddings, doing birthday parties, things like that, going to different bars, helping them kind of improve their craft cocktail menu using fresh ingredients, real ingredients, figuring out their flavor profiles, and then also educating consumers. I found that a lot of time in my experience traveling to bigger cities, the craft cocktail movement just got over this bump of being kind of full of themselves, to be honest.
Okay.
And we're in central Wisconsin. We don't really like that. We like authenticity. So it's about being an accessible educator about how to drink better at home.
Okay. Well, that sounds interesting. You have a very fun Facebook page, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, I mean, you seem to be, you know, getting the word out about what you do a lot through your Facebook page and other social media as well. We do have a caller I want to take. And it is Chris from Adams. Chris, welcome to Route 51.
Good morning. This is great. I have an allergy to cereal grains. And so grain spirits are like off the list. And also people need to be aware that caramel color, which is in lots of brandies and sherries, is made from barley malt and it can set you off too. I would like to encourage somebody because there are a lot of 10% of the population is allergic to gluten and another probably 10% of the population is very aware that they're trying to get those foods out of their bodies because they're inflammatory. And so I think that there could be an argument made for a market for spirits that are made from grapes that are flavored and wonderful and be out there and are completely grain free, and that there would be a population that would be interested in buying that.
Okay, thank you so much. Brian, maybe you can address that.
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. And that is a concern for a lot of people, either people with celiac disease or have a gluten intolerance or just choosing to consume less gluten. We make a Polish-style potato vodka from 100% local potatoes, nothing in there with any kind of gluten. And we did that very consciously, not just because, we source our potatoes within 2 miles of our distillery in Plover. We're right in the middle of potato fields. But also because we knew that was a market. And while on a from the chemical engineer side of me, no gluten comes over in the distilling process. So even if it's a wheat-based vodka, there shouldn't be any gluten in there. But Chris makes a great point that sometimes when the spirits are colored artificially or have other ingredients added, and a lot of the big brands, you know, up to 2%, they don't have to put anything on the label about what's in there. And that's where, you know, being a local producer, I really want to be, one, as transparent as possible so people know what they're consuming and build some trust that, boy, I really am working to do it the right way, the authentic way, without taking any of those shortcuts so they can trust what they're drinking.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit about the history of distilling in central Wisconsin, if you could address that a bit too.
Boy, you know, there is a long and deep history of distilling in central Wisconsin, not necessarily legal distilling.
Right. It went back to Prohibition, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. There was a big group in Portage County just outside of Stevens Point called the Portage County Liquor Syndicate that had stills in the backwoods along the Mill Creek. And, you know, the revenuers were getting close. And in fact, Zach, I don't know if the house that you're currently living in, did it have a little bit of a thing in the basement where there was liquor stored?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We're carrying that tradition up to this day, too.
Well,
but now you're doing it legally.
You know, there was not a legal distiller that I knew of in central Wisconsin until we started in 2013. To do our kind of small batch craft distilling. But, you know, I keep traipsing around the woods around the Mill Creek, seeing if I can find that site, but just haven't been successful in finding any evidence of the old Portage County Liquor Syndicate.
Be kind of interesting to stumble upon that, wouldn't it?
For sure.
Well, but back then, what I've read is that whole thing started as a way to – the craft cocktail industry anyway started as a way to mask the nasty stuff that was in those handmade spirits. And now the craft cocktail industry is not about masking flavor. It's about bringing out flavor, is it not?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, so talk about the craft cocktail thing. I mean, how did it become so big?
Oh, goodness. There's a rich history for cocktails. So,
especially in Wisconsin.
Yeah, especially in Wisconsin. There's a lot of truth about kind of at least the current, or rather the previous generation of drinks being there to cover up the nasty flavor of the kind of bootleg spirits. Before that, however, there's a really rich history of punches and real ingredients. You know, the Old Fashioned or the Sazerac in New Orleans, you know, it was great brandy and great whiskey paired with simple syrups and fresh fruit, and punches were used to kind of not only flavor the Navy's, if you will, rations, but help fight off scurvy. So it's really interesting. You can trace it all the way through that. So the current craft cocktail movement is kind of actually more seen as a return to form, where we can focus on having a great base spirit again and use all these real ingredients again instead of trying to find something to mask flavors and do something quick and cheap. And it's fun. It's really cool to be able to know what you're drinking instead of having that bright red Cosmo that's glowing in the dark for some reason.
For some crazy reason. Exactly. Sarah, this has got to have a big impact on tourism, I would think. I mean, having this many craft organizations so close to one area must have an impact on local tourism, yes?
For sure. We see it especially when the craft beverage industry locally has an event, say Central Waters has their anniversary party every January, and folks flock to the region from all over the Midwest and even, you know, from beyond that scope. So we completely embrace it, and we have been for a number of years, and that's really why we started the Central Wisconsin Craft Collective. We know that about one third of people that have either heard of the Stevens Point area or that know of the region think of us as that craft beverage central. And that was, we learned that through a destination perception study that we did just a few years back. We received a grant from the Wisconsin Department of Tourism, and that was that allowed us to capture some of that information and really confirm to us that we were marketing the right folks and trying to lure these craft beverage lovers up to Central Wisconsin.
And what is it that sets Central Wisconsin distilleries apart? I mean, what makes Central Wisconsin distilleries or cocktail scene, what makes it different from that of Milwaukee or Madison, those bigger cities?
Well, I think – oh, sorry.
No.
I think Brian touched on it. I mean, Great Northern was the first in Central Wisconsin, and a lot of the breweries, wineries, and distilleries were some of the first. They're some of the, you know, the pioneers, if you will, in the craft beverage industry. And I think, you know, Stevens Point Brewery dates back to 1857. They're a year older than the city of Stevens Point is. So again, you know, we have this passion for, you know, great beer, wine, and spirits. And I think it shows. And the stories here, the entrepreneurs that are, you know, building these great businesses are driven by passion. And that's really what sets us apart from every other brewery, winery, or distillery, I think, in the nation. When you hear their stories and understand why they made the shift to open their businesses, it's driven 100% by passion.
And I think from a technical standpoint, too, we're very fortunate in Central Wisconsin, and Wausau included, in addition to Stevens Point, of having spectacularly good water. Our water is arguably among the best in the country for making beer, for making spirits, for making wine. And I think that really makes a difference in the product, where, you know, some other communities, like there are distilleries in Arizona Well, you know, they don't have a lot of real good water there, so they're having to do a lot of water treatment and other things that just make the spirits taste a little flatter. And Wisconsin, with our great water, our great ingredients, and in the midst of agriculture, you know, whether it's cranberries or maple syrup or potatoes or grain, you know, we have such a wealth of really great ingredients to make really high-quality spirits and beers and wines.
All right. Well, we do need to take a break. Brian Cummins, Sarah Brisch, and Zach Stringer, our guests today on Route 51. We're going to continue our discussion on Central and Northern Wisconsin's thirst for premium limited edition spirits and the impact the craft spirit has having industry is having on our local economy. You can join the conversation as well. 800-780-9742. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Sarah Brisch, Brian Cummins, and Zach Stringer are our guests today as we discuss the thriving craft spirit industry in central and northern Wisconsin. We'd love to hear from you, too. The number to call is 800-780-9742. Brian, I'd like you to take us through the process. What's it like? I mean, start to finish, crafting a local spirit, does it take a lot of time?
It does.
Does it depend on the type of alcohol you're producing?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we always start out at Great Northern with an idea behind what type of spirit we want to make, or what's our take on a spirit. Like, for example, our Vanguard whiskey is essentially our bourbon. It's just a really low corn mash bill bourbon. So it starts with that idea. And the ingredients that we have locally. So we use corn, wheat, malted barley, and rye in that bourbon. So we start with those raw grains. We cook them in a way that's very similar for mashing in a brewery, except we don't strain out the grain the way a brewery would to make a wort that then gets fermented into a beer. We're doing an old style of distilling called distilling on the grain, which means we grind up our grain to a flour consistency first and keep that with the mash all the way through boiling in the still pot. And the thing that really gives us a nice, rich flavor is working in that old style, because everything goes into that still pot to boil and give up its own flavor compounds during the distillation process.
So I've heard that the clears are mm-hmm. are – I don't know if I should say easier, but they take less time?
You know, they do take less time, and they can get to market a little faster. You know, new craft distilleries starting up kind of jokingly say, well, vodka and gin pay the bills because you're waiting on barrel aging for the darker spirits. So, but I find that making vodka is almost harder than making whiskey.
Really? How so?
Because of the attention to detail you really need to make a really good, high-quality vodka. Plus, it takes more times being distilled to really get to that pure, clean, flavorful vodka from our local potatoes. Whereas whiskey's kind of a more rustic process that it's distilled at a little bit lower proof on the still. And then, you know, so much of the art of whiskey is in the finishing of it and the barrel aging and how you're going to choose the proof at which it goes into the bottle. So what you trade for the difficulty of making vodka and you give up with speed in whiskey. So whiskey's simpler, but, you know, it takes years to age and barrel age a really nice fine whiskey.
That makes sense. Well, Zach, many of the cocktails that you design, the ones that I've seen, they use some pretty surprising ingredients. Sometimes herbs, teas, local ingredients as well. Local honey, for example, I've seen that. So what are some of the more unusual ingredients that you have used in your cocktails?
Some unusual ingredients.
I mean, you know, unusual to me.
Yeah, maybe. One of my favorite ingredients to play with, especially local berries, is a Neronia berry. It's kind of this tart, bitter, but really flavorful berry. by itself, it's way too bitter to be in a cocktail or tart. So playing with the different things, how do you sweeten it? How do you make it dance with the different flavors? And I think when I was working at Great Northern, we did one, it was called the Aronia Amis Bosch, named after the artist, of course. And we did a infused gin with it. And those botanicals of Brian's gin really kind of danced and brought up that flavor. And it was fun, yeah. Otherwise, I like to try to pair ingredients that you wouldn't think that would work together really well. I think that's one of my favorite things. And I get that inspiration from a lot of, like, food. So I worked at Christian's Bistro before working at Great Northern, and Chef Christian and his crew really inspired me on what flavors work together and might surprise you. So,
okay. I was wondering where you got all the inspiration from, because it seems like there's this unending list of combinations that can be put together. But, I mean, how do you know what works and what doesn't work? But I feel like I've been to more and more events where there has been a signature cocktail. Is that still a thing right now? I mean, is that still really popular? Is it just for weddings or I mean, is that kind of a trend that you see continuing?
I think so, yeah. Having a custom-made cocktail is a way that you can make something that's personal to you. And a lot of bars, there's a signature cocktail because they might not have the support to have a full-on craft cocktail kind of menu. So they're able to cater to one signature cocktail that's great for this individual place. When it comes to weddings, for sure, or we did an event this weekend, it was a birthday, trying to make that signature cocktail that really embodies that individual and having fun with it. So,
okay. Well, yeah, that's interesting. You know, I noticed, too, that you've been bringing some zero-proof cocktails to your Facebook page for Sober October. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So Sober October, Dry January, there's a few movements of what's called Sober Curious. And it's not about necessarily quitting drinking, but changing your relationship with it, where you can choose when you want to drink rather than kind of having your habitual cues take over and have four or five or six cocktails or beer. It's also about inclusivity. When you go out to a bar, a lot of times, if you're not drinking for whatever reason, you feel kind of left out. They give you water or a soda in a bright red cup while everyone else has these beautiful garnished drinks. So having a zero-proof cocktail gives you options and inclusivity where you feel like, wow, I am also an adult. I'm just choosing not to drink, and I can have a great cocktail. It just doesn't have alcohol in it, and alcohol at the end of the day is a flavoring. So you can create really wonderful drinks and cocktails that don't have any alcohol or spirits in it.
And that craft cocktail movement really seems to be more about the flavor and the experience than it is about, you know, the going to a bar and having a whole bunch of drinks. This is you're really experiencing something here. Do you find that to be the case at these events? And what about tasting rooms? How important is the tasting room?
Oh my gosh, it is a big part of what Great Northern is down in Plover. It's really not just a cocktail bar, which it is. We're open, you know, throughout the week and serve drinks by the glass there. But it's also a lab for us to be able to test out new ingredients, new flavors, to work with great mixologists like Zach and some of the others that have worked with us. And we've got a real priority as Great Northern to expand that cocktail culture here in central and northern Wisconsin and get that expanded out beyond our borders. But, you know, from a simple dollars and cents standpoint, tasting rooms are a very important revenue stream to a small batch distiller, as well as a tap room for a craft brewer. That's a way you can engage with the brand and get to meet the people like that. But we also don't want to be like a normal tavern league bar. We want to be complementary to that. And, you know, that's why our hours, we shut down by about 10 o'clock at night. And if people still want to have the rest of their evening someplace else, we've got lots of recommended places for them to go to support our other customers, our bars and restaurants in the area that are carrying our products too.
Okay. Zach, maybe you can give us an example. Like, give us an example of a great cocktail recipe, and then an example of a great mocktail recipe that is just as enjoyable.
Sure. You know, I like to go to the classics for a great cocktail recipe. I think it really comes down to the ingredients. So you talked about craft cocktails and really savoring it. And I think one of my favorite examples is a Manhattan. So you go to your normal Manhattan and you might build it with a gun at a normal bar and like it's good. It gets the job done and you'll have three or four of them and you're not really paying attention to it. But at Great Northern, I think Great Northern's rye whiskey is one of the best rye whiskeys because it's very flavorful and can dance with a really good vermouth that uses that is used in a Manhattan. And that different side-by-side of just a really quickly thrown again their Manhattan with a rail bottle to a craft made using proper technique and great ingredients, it's incredible. A great mocktail recipe. One of my favorite ingredients is a shrub. It's essentially a drinking vinegar. It's a really actually ancient ingredient. And there's a new company out called Siren Shrub Co. out of Stevens Point. And they do wonderful. They have a basil flavor, a cherry flavor, a ginger maple, with a few more on the line. And it can be something as simple as using like 3/4 to an ounce of that and topping it off with your favorite soda water or adding tea to it. Just something to add that complexity. And I find tea is a really great ingredient for that because there's so many different botanical flavors already in tea. And then you can build off of that.
Absolutely. You know, I actually read that the craft distilling might really have never gotten off the ground at all if the tasting rooms hadn't been legalized back in 2009. I mean, I can't imagine the impact that must have had on the industry as a whole.
Absolutely. And, you know, here in Wisconsin, we all owe a real debt of gratitude to Guy Rehorst at Great Lakes Distillery down in Milwaukee. He started off his distillery in 2004, I believe, but didn't produce anything until 2006 because those first couple of years he was lobbying the state legislature to get the laws in place that it took to do this because so much of what regulates bars and restaurants, distillers, other producers, and distributors are laws that are left over from Prohibition that have just been cobbled together over years and years. And hopefully here in the next few years we'll get some reform that will make it easier for all of us to do business and just grow our industry.
Great. Listeners can call in at 800-780-9742 if you've got a question for one of our guests. Sarah, I have to ask, who comes to these places? Who comes to Central Wisconsin and for craft beverages? Is it the locals? Is it people from the Northwoods? Do they come from everywhere?
They come from all over, really all over the United States and the world for that matter. I know, you know, not too long ago, some folks came over from Europe to take in Central Waters. So they flew into Chicago to take in the Windy City for a few days and then had recognized that Amherst was not too far from Chicago. So they made the trek up here, spent a night here, enjoyed dinner with Anello, the brewmaster and one of the owners of Central Waters, and just had a marvelous time. So really, there is no there is no barrier to coming to the Central Wisconsin to enjoy the experiences that we have here. There are very specific people that are coming to the region just for that craft beverage experience. But what we found is that the craft beverage experience has really elevated all of the other great things that we have here to see and do. And so we have some of the most wonderful outdoor recreational trails, I would say, in the state or the Midwest or the nation for that matter. Our outdoor spaces are pretty phenomenal here in Central Wisconsin. And so people may be coming in to bike or hike the Green Circle Trail or the Tomorrow River State Trail or taking the Ice Age Trail. And while that's great for a few hours during the day, they're going to need something to do in the evening. And so we've found that the craft beverage industry is really complemented some of the other tourism assets that we have in the region. And so, and really the folks traveling to bike, hike, canoe, paddle, or cross-country ski really do align well with that craft beverage industry. They're the same folks that really enjoy a fine beverage locally made and handcrafted. So it's been a really really nice complement to the things that we've been doing for years. And I will add that for, you know, the past several decades, the Stevens Point area has really been recognized as, you know, a hub for meetings and conventions. And what the breweries, wineries, and distilleries offer is a phenomenal venue for meeting and convention attendees to take in after the conference is closed for the day. You know, I know Brian and his team have welcomed us, along with some of the other Craft Collective members, to their facilities for receptions. And Brian has, you know, graciously taken many of the attendees on private tours. And it's really... it just really complements all the other great things that we have to do here in the region.
There, it seems like everywhere you travel, there's kind of a signature drink. There's a signature cocktail. You know, places are known for certain things. What do you think is the quintessential Central Wisconsin cocktail? What says Central Wisconsin?
Oh, my gosh. You can't get away from the old fashioned.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
That is Wisconsin through and through. And at Great Northern, we developed our own signature old-fashioned, which is interesting in that it's about halfway between a classic old-fashioned, kind of the East Coast style, which is just bitters, sugar, spirit stirred over ice and really served with a pretty high alcohol level. And then the Wisconsin Supper Club Old Fashioned, which is more about the bitters and muddling fruit, cherries, oranges, sugar, and then topping that spirit, either brandy or whiskey, off with some sort of soda, whether it's a sweet or a sour. We kind of go in the middle. So we use a local maple syrup, tapped maple syrup from right in central Wisconsin, muddling with a Luxardo cherry, which Luxardo cherry is the original Italian maraschino cherry that is just absolutely delicious, and also a bunch of bitters. We use our Vanguard whiskey, and then we stir that like an East Coast old fashioned, strain that out, and then add a little bit of seltzer to it just to bring the alcohol level down a bit to be back halfway to that supper club old fashioned. And then we actually flame an orange peel over top of it, which makes for a great show, but also gives kind of that expressed oil a little bit more of a caramelized orange flavor to the end of that old fashioned.
That sounds amazing. It does.
It's magically delicious.
What do you think, Zach? I mean, is the old fashioned really it? Is that Central Wisconsin's cocktail?
Yeah, I think Wisconsin in general. Everywhere you go outside of the state, there's an old fashioned. And if you took somebody from Wisconsin and went there and ordered that old fashioned, they'd look at you like, what is this?
What?
And then there's the Wisconsin Supper Club old fashioned. And it's forgotten a lot in the overall global craft cocktail industry, but it shouldn't be. It's a really, really beautiful cocktail. And the one at Great Northern is definitely one of my favorites. It's definitely biased. I would say, though, I think Central Wisconsin, a close runner-up would be the Bloody Mary, because everywhere you go, they are fighting over their Bloody Mary mix.
Oh, yes.
And it's really fun. When I was working at bars, that would be, do you have a Bloody Mary? Let's try it. And then you'd hear them talk and converse about how that compared to, you know, this other places or their own personal Bloody Mary. And so there's definitely a culture around Bloody Marys here too.
I'm super picky about my Bloody Mary, I have to tell you that. We do have to take a break. Brian Cummins, Sarah Brisch, and Zach Stringer, our guests today on Route 51, as we continue our discussion on the local craft spirit industry. When we return, we'll talk more about the economic impact we're seeing in central and northern Wisconsin. You can join the conversation too at 800-780-9742. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Sarah Brisch, Brian Cummins, and Zach Stringer are our guests today as we continue our discussion on the local craft spirit industry in central and northern Wisconsin. We'd love to hear from you, too. The number to call is 800-780-9742. I read the most recent report from the American Craft Spirits Association that shows a pretty significant jump in the number of distilleries over the past couple of years. Investment in distilleries has nearly doubled, And that's leading to some pretty significant job growth. Do you see this trend continuing, or do you think the industry has reached its peak?
Boy, I sure hope so. I mean, locally, we've seen a lot of great growth as well. You had mentioned earlier Timekeeper Distillery right here in Wausau. Dan and his wife Kim have started that up. You know, they kind of saved the train station to develop it into a new place to come and visit and enjoy their spirits and cocktails. And they've got a patio that I am so jealous of, and still a good couple of months or a couple of weeks of patio time available. So a big investment there. You've got Northern Waters Spirits up in Minocqua, Peter Nam. You know, they started as a small little operation in a house on the island there in Minocqua, and they've since expanded to a really nice sized distillery. So all those additions coming, and Great Northern as well. We've been expanding our production, and we've done a little bit of export with a ginseng infused bourbon whiskey using another great local ingredient. Mm-hmm. So I hope it continues. But you know, as more and more competitors get in, it's harder and harder for us little guys to get to market through distribution. So the tasting room and coming to visit is more and more important to us. But that's where, like I said previously, that the laws are really layovers from Prohibition, and hopefully will be helping us to get our products to market a little more smoothly and be able to continue that growth and continue all those choices for people so they can really choose to drink more locally.
Sure. Is there anything that surprised you about the Craft Collective experience as you've, you know, continued to expand this? Is there anything that's been surprising?
The momentum is not, it's not, it's just not dying. It's continuing to grow on a regular basis. We're in the midst of an 8-week Central Wisconsin Craft Collective promotion, and every year we hit new records, and we're in week 3, and we have already almost surpassed all of our 2019 goals. So we are so excited about the continued momentum that this joint promotion has had for the last several years. And we hope this ride continues for many years to come. But again, I think what's unique about Central Wisconsin is the makers, is the experiences that you have when you walk into any one of these fine facilities. And the fact that all of these facilities really offer, you know, just something unique, you know, whether it's the environmental flair out at Central Waters, or, you know, the history that the Stevens Point Brewery brings, or the fact that Brian is leading the charge with his distillery down in Plover, you know, as the first in Central Wisconsin. I mean, we're the first, we're the best. We have this competitive edge in Central Wisconsin like nobody else. And I think that's what continues to drive the awareness and the enthusiasm and the excitement for this industry locally.
And what about the emphasis on local? I know that you've talked about using local ingredients. How important is that? And is it important to your customers?
Absolutely. That is one of the key tenets of my business. Is we want to source as many of our ingredients from within 150 miles of our distillery as we possibly can, and really want to be public about when we don't. You know, there are a few gin botanicals that we can't get within 150 miles, but if there was a commercial source, it could grow here.
Sure.
It's just about finding that that partner in the community to do that. And we've had great community partners, either through the Central Rivers Farm Shed group in Stevens Point, Main Grain Bakery in Stevens Point we've partnered with to do some local ingredients, either bringing their ingredients in or they're using our spirits as ingredients in some of their desserts. It's all about partnering up. And, you know, Sarah has mentioned Oso Brewery and Central Waters Brewery. We've done some great collaborations with them, either sending our barrels to them for them to age beer in our barrels after they've had whiskey in them, or bringing barrels back where they've had barrel-aged beer in them and us aging a spirit or finishing a spirit in those barrels And we'd love to partner with others in the area too. Like I know Dan and at Timekeeper, we've talked about, hey, let's do a collaborative whiskey. And it's all about building those partnerships and bringing new ingredients in, either from farmers or other producers in the area, to make something that is unique to our place in central Wisconsin.
Zach, you mentioned sustainability on your website, on the Copper and Pines website. So what role does sustainability play in the local cocktail scene? I'm curious.
Yeah, absolutely. The craft cocktail scene is all about using every part of the ingredient that it possibly can. So, for example, a new trend that's been kind of around maybe starting like last year or the year before is when we squeeze fresh juices, we normally would throw away the halves of the citrus, the spent citrus. Well, now you can use those peels beforehand to make a kind of a citrus syrup called oleosaccharum, which is really popular in punches. You can also soak that in like water and create almost a citrus stock, and then use different herbs or teas to make almost a citrus substitute. So it's all about lengthening all those ingredients. Also looking at spent or bruised fruit and vegetables that otherwise would go for feed or be composted. We can use that. We wash it up. We'll make an apple syrup out of that apple that you don't want to make applesauce for. I've seen people use vines of tomatoes in their syrups and for ingredients that are pretty cool. So it's all about finding these ways of, all right, how can I maximize this ingredient and use it? And it's fun. It's really cool to solve that problem.
I'm really curious. What are you working on for the upcoming holiday season? Do you have some special cocktail coming up?
Well, we'll be definitely doing some social media pushes for recipes, but I think the big thing is we are focusing on launching our version of an old-fashioned mix. So working with tapped maple syrup, as Brian mentioned, and he made a special orange-infused syrup for us, and then we've gotten Bitter Cube Bitters down in Milwaukee, a great company, and we've infused that then with Door County cherries, and so we've kind of blended those together as more of a old-fashioned cocktail syrup, if you will. Used to put about a half ounce in, almost replace everything that you do in that muddling process, and then you can choose your spirit and top it off with whatever wash you want. And so we're just at our test run for that. That should be launching, and will be this holiday season, and are hoping to do some events around it as well.
So, well, that sounds neat. Yeah. Can we talk a little bit about the tasting experience? I was thinking about this. What is the best way to really take it all in? Because I've heard, you know, if you overdo it, you're doing it wrong.
For sure.
Okay. So if I go to a tasting room, what should I do? What should I be looking for?
So it depends whether you're there to sample the spirits themselves. Like we get people coming in wanting, they would say, a flight of spirits to taste the different variations we have on whether it's gin or vodka, rum, whiskeys. And that kind of tasting – we want to make sure those are pretty small sample sizes. It's more about getting the nose of the sample first, and it's different than sampling wine or beer because that higher alcohol level can sometimes burn your nasal passages. So you don't want to take a sip and suck some air through it or bubble some air through it like you would with a wine to because that volatilizes all those flavor compounds in a wine. Well, it'll also volatilize the alcohol. So one of the tasting techniques is actually kind of a fun old school way. It's called the Kentucky Chew, and it was developed really down in Kentucky with the bourbon producers, where you take a small sip of the spirit, roll it around, hit all the points of your tongue, swallow, and then you kind of do that kind of a motion, and that volatilizes just enough of the flavor compounds, but not so much of the alcohol to allow you to really take in all the different flavors there.
I had no idea. I've been doing it wrong. So, well, that's interesting.
Well, there's no right or wrong way.
I suppose.
You know, enjoy it the way you want to. I don't want to get all pretentious and have a bunch of rules.
No.
Like Zach said, we don't want to be that. We want to be accessible. We want to be casual and welcoming everybody in to try something new.
How many varieties do you have? What do you have?
Boy, you know, at any one time, we're probably got some special releases too. So our core line is really five spirits. It's our Polish-style potato vodka, our herbalist gin, our opportunity rum, which we call it opportunity because we got some sugar from a local warehouse that was adulterated and had been speared by a forklift fork, so it couldn't be sold into the cranberry industry, but we were able to use it in distilling. Our Vanguard whiskey, which is our bourbon, and our rye whiskey, which is actually our most awarded spirit. But then we've got some special releases that come different times of the year. We have a new coffee liqueur that is going to be more common on the market soon, that we partner with Ruby Coffee Roasters in Stevens Point. And our Wisconsin brandy, which we partner with Sunset Point Winery. They make us a really simple semi-sweet white wine that we distill and then age in our used whiskey barrels. That's a November release for us. We've typically got Wisconsin brandy through the holidays, and when it sells out, it sells out.
Okay, so it's a definite limited edition.
Yeah, for sure. And we're always coming up with things like that, special release whiskeys. There are some retailers locally that have asked for a barrel pick where they'll come and select a specific barrel of whiskey that we'll package just for them. And that's sometimes at cask strength, which is higher strength than your typical whiskey, but is really something special. It's at about 115 proof. And I know the Bottle Stop in Stevens Point has done that. Richard's Liquor over in Wisconsin Rapids. And of course, Trigg's Cellar 70 has come to us with that as well.
I did wonder, what role do local restaurants and taverns play in this? I mean, do you get buy-in from local restaurants? Are you able to market it to local restaurants?
Yeah. We've been really fortunate to have great local partners. Certainly, Zach mentions Chef Christian's restaurants in Stevens Point, whether it was Christian's Bistro or the Chef's Table or Father Fats. They've been real supporters of the craft cocktail movement, as well as many other places throughout central Wisconsin. And sometimes it's a harder sell. You know, people are still going to ask for Captain Morgan or Jack Daniels, and that's going to be the bulk of their business. But for them to be able to offer something new and different for their customers that may be something that gives them a different hook. You know, a new place in Stevens Point, Two Harps Irish Pub. They've developed a really great back bar with some of the best whiskeys in the area. And that's something new that other people are asking for. That used to be more just big cities and, you know, with a well-curated whiskey back bar. But Nick Moore there really does a great job at bringing some cool new stuff in.
Sarah, I guess that begs the question, what other businesses benefit from craft beverage tourism?
We all benefit, right? I mean, we talked about the collaborations earlier. Everyone that's coming to the community, whether it's to bike and hike and they stumble on Great Northern Distilling, or whether they're coming in for Great Northern and they stumble upon our trails, everyone's benefiting. But at the end of the day, we want to make sure that our visitors are having an exceptional experience when they're in the community. And I think we recognize that with the robust craft scene and the robust outdoor recreation scene and the arts and culture scene that we have here in central Wisconsin, really it makes our destination one worth traveling to. And so research shows that if someone's coming up from the Madison area and it takes 2 hours to come up to the Stevens Point area, they need four times that of activity to spend the night. And so it's really our job as the destination marketing professionals to package all of the wonderful things that we have to see and do in central Wisconsin into one great experience. And so that might be biking for a few hours and then heading over to the distillery and maybe Oso for a beer. And then, you know, taking in A Social or Mikey's or one of our other fine restaurants in that region. So to be able to really package these great assets together has made a huge difference in how we promote the region, but also in the numbers or the volume of people that we're attracting to the region. We talked about the economics of, you know, we used to call it beer tourism, and now that we have, you know, the spirits and the wine infused in that list, it's just really just expanded our capabilities, and we've found that targeting these niches has really put us on the map. It's increased occupancies throughout our region. It's increased average daily rates at our hotels, and it's increased visits at our you know, all of our attractions and points of interest, but all of certainly all of our restaurants as well.
Interesting. I do want to mention that websites from all three of our guests are up on our site, WPR.org/Route 51. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. I'd like to thank our guests, Brian Cummins, Zach Stringer, and Sarah Brish. Our executive producer today is Rick Ryer, who is also our on-air producer. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. You can hear the archive of today's program at WPR.org/Route 51. Next week, we'll discuss the far-reaching impacts of high-quality early education for children and the groundbreaking science that shows the issue is no small matter. Until then, we're heading out of town.